The Serapeum, the burial place of the Apis bulls, became vast. Chamber after chamber was built. Stone sarcophagi. They were buried with jewels, these bulls. And it was a very, I guess it's a mysterious place. When you go into the Serapeum, even today, it's very mysterious. It's a long cavern, rooms over here, rooms over here. Each one once had an Apis bull. Cleopatra was taken by her father to Saqqara to see the burial place of the Apis bull. They must have been burying a bull, and she was there for the services. Now, I believe that this is a turning point in Cleopatra's life. Cleopatra will become the only Ptolemy ever to speak Egyptian. The only one. The Greeks didn't care about the Egyptians. She's the only one who is going to try, well, she does, to speak Egyptian. Not only that, she will make a desperate attempt to resurrect the Egyptian religion, which is dying. And I think it's because as a child, she goes to this tomb of the Apis bull, hears the priests chanting, sees the incense, and it makes an impression on her that will change her life. So we know she goes to the Apis bull tomb with her father. Now, her father dies, and he leaves a will. He actually leaves two copies of it, one in Alexandria, and the other is in Rome. Rome, because he knows if this will is going to be honored, the Romans are going to have to back it up. And he leaves as his successors, actually, two of his children, his eldest daughter, Cleopatra. And there were seven Cleopatras. The famous one is Cleopatra VII, our Cleopatra. She is going to be one of the rulers, and she is going to rule with her younger brother, Ptolemy XIII. So they are placed on the throne. Now, she hates Ptolemy, her younger brother. He's a brat. She just hates him. And Ptolemy isn't ruling for himself. Cleopatra is perhaps 17 years old. Ptolemy's younger. And there are three people who are put in charge of Ptolemy, in charge of calling the shots for him. There is a politician, a rhetorician, maybe somebody has to make the speeches, and a eunuch, somebody has to keep the peace. The important one is the politician, Pothinus. He is plotting all the time. And he turns the people of Alexandria, who are mainly Greeks, against Cleopatra. He puts the seeds of doubt in their mind that Cleopatra is pro-Roman, that she favors the Romans and doesn't care about the Greeks. Now, there is a little bit of truth in this. Cleopatra is smart. You know, she spent her childhood in the library at Alexandria. She read the history of Egypt. It is known that Cleopatra spoke many languages. When her father greeted ambassadors from foreign countries, she was there listening, and eventually she was allowed to greet them in their own tongue. This is a very smart young lady. And she saw that her father stayed in power only because of Rome's might behind him. She knows she needs Rome. It's kind of like in business when people use other people's money. She was going to use other people's army. She was going to use the Roman army as her own. So she is pro-Rome. And Pothinus is telling the Greeks, oh, she's pro-Roman, we're going to be in trouble. And he sets up a revolt against Cleopatra. Cleopatra flees the country. She knows she's about to be killed. She flees. But she is no ordinary woman. She's only 17 years old. But she doesn't just flee. She raises an army. She raises an army. She's going to come back. Now, at this time with civil unrest in Egypt, Rome is concerned. Why do they care? They want the grain to keep coming out of Egypt. This is feeding Rome. Egypt was called the breadbasket of Rome. Rome wasn't growing enough for their army, and they're going to take it out of Egypt. So Julius Caesar is sent to Alexandria to straighten things out, to settle Rome, to settle Egypt so Rome can get their grain.